As we all grapple with the coronavirus pandemic and its dramatic implications on our home and working lives, we are, it seems, faced with more questions than answers. And commercial landlords and tenants are no exceptions to that. Indeed, many face increasing financial concerns as the UK enters its COVID-19 lockdown. I'm joined by Barry Shaw, solicitor and head of legal at Greenland UK, who is going to give answers to 10 of the major questions currently being faced by commercial landlords and tenants. So, first on the list, Barry, can a tenant adversely affected by coronavirus terminate their lease?
Essentially, the answer is no. Just because they either choose to close their business or can no longer afford to pay the rent, they are not entitled just to terminate their lease. The only exception might be if they have, a rolling break clause or something like that, where they can give notice to do so. Commercial leases usually do not contain a force majeure clause, so that probably won't apply. And the only other exception, perhaps, is if a tenant does go into liquidation, which unfortunately is going to be the case in the current climate with some company, the liquidator could then terminate the lease by a process called disclaimer.
So then turning to those who may have been on the verge of signing a lease as this crisis took hold, I mean, can a tenant withdraw from an exchanged agreement for lease?
Well, that will depend entirely on the provisions and the clauses in the agreement for lease, particularly relating to termination and rescission. Again, people are talking about force majeure clauses. And a lot of legal commentators have been focusing on those in the last few weeks. But most of them seem to suggest that the standard force majeure clause won't apply in this case. They usually list various events that may entitle a contract to be terminated. Mm-hmm. And they use things like terrorist attacks, wars, act of God, etc. So unless there's a very generic wording that could apply here or a specific wording, in fact, I've recently in the last couple of weeks just had a contract which referred to a pandemic or an epidemic, which obviously someone's keeping up to date. So unless it's like that, the answer is probably no. However, the only other scenario I can think of which could lead to a tenant being entitled to withdraw is if it's a conditional agreement for lease, a conditional on the landlord carrying out some works by a long stop date, and the landlord is then unable to do that.
Yes.
Of the effects of the coronavirus, namely the supply chain is interrupted, preventing him from acquiring all the materials needed to carry out the works, or the contractors are unable to come on site, which as a result of the most recent sort of government guidelines is also quite likely now, or contractors are on site and then have to leave site because they are in isolation or unfortunately actually catch the virus. So there are scenarios where a landlord fails to carry out works by a long stop date because of the effects of the virus, in which case a tenant may be able to terminate an agreement for lease.
But can a tenant withhold rent or pay a reduced amount under their lease because of the financial implications of coronavirus?
Well, of course, this is the question everybody is talking about. And the government are introducing some measures. In fact, just in the last day or so, they've introduced a measure whereby landlords are not entitled to forfeit a lease for a period of 3 months out of non-payment of rent. That is covering the sort of the current March quarter, the quarter today having just passed. And a lot of tenants, I think, are going to take advantage of that. However, that it was made clear that does not let the tenant off the rent.
No.
And the landlord would be able to claim it afterwards. But the simple answer to the question is no. The tenant's not entitled to withdraw rent or pay a reduced amount because of their own cash flow problems arising from having had to close their business down or a significant reduction in customers, etc. There are suspension of rent provisions in most leases. They're not really going to apply here because they relate to damage to the premises by either insured or uninsured risks. And that just doesn't apply here. There hasn't been damage to the premises. One exception to the question is where a tenant becomes insolvent and enters into a company voluntary arrangement, a CVA, which involves negotiation with all its creditors, including landlords, which a lot of household names have done over the last few years, and that's been well publicised. However, having said all that, regardless of the rights under the lease, there are obviously a lot of conversations going on between landlords and tenants at the moment. Landlords are being encouraged to be sympathetic, given the, as the phrase is being used so much, unprecedented times in which we live. And a lot of household names have already requested rent holidays, such as Debenhams, New Look, etc. And some landlords are already being very sympathetic, such as Argent and Howard de Walden. However, a note of caution, the phrase rent holiday is being bandied around, but I think that's not a legal term, and it's quite ambiguous what exactly it means. So does it mean actually granting a rent-free period? In other words, a tenant is released from rent for, let's say, a quarter, or the rent is waived for that period, or does it in fact mean a deferment of rent, whereby the tenant's expected to catch up with the rent when things improve, and a sort of repayment program is negotiated and agreed for the tenant to catch up the rent in installments if the landlord allows a tenant at this stage not to pay it. And just to avoid arguments and disputes over this later, I would strongly recommend that any so-called rent holiday agreed between the parties is well documented, preferably by a solicitor, I guess, just to make sure that it is quite clear what exactly has been agreed.
Indeed, and you mentioned retail tenants there. I suppose it's worth pointing out that if they're fortunate enough to be paying turnover rent, or if a proportion of their rent is based on turnover, that inevitably for the period that they're going to be affected, that the likelihood is that will be reflected in their rent during that period.
Indeed, I mean that's correct. Obviously, yeah. Another option is perhaps for landlords and tenants to agree that where the lease provides for rent to be paid quarterly, it's now paid monthly to help the tenant's cash flow. And I've heard of cases where that's been agreed.
Mm-hmm. So turning to business rates, does a tenant have to continue paying business rates? And in theory, could a landlord become responsible for those?
Well, the answer is under the terms of the lease, the tenant is usually responsible to pay business rates. There have, of course, been, again, government initiatives and concessions announced, which is helping tenants in particular sectors, the retail, leisure, etc., putting business rates, and most local authorities are adopting that. However, generally speaking, this is a matter between the tenant and the local authority, which doesn't affect the landlord. The obligation would only fall back to the landlord if the lease does come to an end, it is terminated for some reason, and the tenant vacates, and then the obligation comes back to the landlord.
Okay. Are tenants likely to be insured for circumstances like this?
Possibly. Tenants should certainly scrutinise their business interruption insurance and see if they're covered, and be encouraged to do that. Although, from what I'm hearing, most policies are not covering this situation. But tenants should certainly check that.
And whose responsibility is it to manage the virus within let premises?
Within the premises themselves, it will usually be the tenant, because a tenant normally covenants in its lease to comply with all acts of Parliament and bylaws and regulations, etc. So it will be the tenant responsible to manage the situation in its own premises and be responsible for their own employees, customers, visitors, etc. And they should be encouraged to comply with the Public Health England guidance for COVID-19 in the workplace. I would, however, distinguish in answering this question between leases of whole and leases of part. As a lease of a whole of a building, then obviously they will be responsible on the basis I've just outlined. But it gets more complicated, obviously, if they are a tenant of part and there are common parts in, let's say, a building or a shopping centre, where the landlord will then be responsible for those common parts.
Mm-hmm. And this is going to be a particularly pressing question in the light of the recent announcement of the lockdown, but how are tenants with a keep open covenant going to be affected?
Well, several leases in the retail sector contain keep open covenants, particularly in shopping centres and for anchor tenants, as they are called. And the point is, normally, even in normal circumstances, keep open covenants are not normally enforceable, and the courts have been very reluctant to enforce them. So it's very unlikely that keep open covenants will be enforceable now, even less so than usual. However, breach of a keep open covenant could give rise to a claim in damages on the part of a landlord against a tenant that breaches that obligation. The landlord would have to prove loss, etc. Although I'd have thought courts will be very reluctant to give awards in the current situation. And there is one exception where a tenant may not be liable under its keep open clauses in that some of these clauses do have exceptions. And one exception you do quite often find is the tenant does not have to comply with that obligation if it's contrary to any regulation or requirement of any statutory or local authority. So arguably the current government guidelines would fall into this exception way, meaning that the keep open covenant doesn't apply.
Okay, so what are some of a landlord's obligations in this situation?
Well, I mentioned previously where tenants have a lease apart and there's a building with common parts or a shopping centre with common parts, where the landlord firstly has an obligation to comply with its covenants in the lease, which will be to, again, observe any regulations and bylaws, etc., and also to comply with government guidelines. And compliance will fall within probably a landlord service charge obligation to comply with government guidelines and regulations, etc. So this will cover the common parts and estates generally under various heads of service charge. However, again, the situation has moved on very quickly. So now a landlord's obligation or will be in many cases to close the shopping centre or the building where it's split into separate parts. So, you know, that obviously moves the goalposts yet again as it's changed almost by the day.
So can these additional costs of doing that, of closing premises and what have you, be recovered under the service charge from tenants?
Usually, yes. I think most service charge provisions are pretty wide and also have a sort of sweep-up provision saying anything else the landlord can think of but hasn't mentioned in the lease, a sort of general estate management clause. But certainly costs for items that the landlord was incurring over the last few weeks, such as deep cleaning, providing hand sanitizers, etc. These would normally be, costs of these would be recoverable under the service charge normally.
So another thing that tenants will have to think about. So as one final question for you, Barry, are there any other potential risks to a landlord?
Yes, there are two or three really. I mean, I think firstly, I mentioned that a landlord actually has covenants itself under its service charge obligations to provide services to a building or a shopping centre, whatever. And it's possible that the landlord would fail to provide these services in the current circumstances if, for example, the supply chain is interrupted for equipment of materials needed to provide the services, or it's unable for whatever reason under the current circumstances to provide these services. And now, again, things moving on quickly, the interruption of services may be because the building or shopping centre has been closed. And this gives rise to another potential claim against a landlord, where if a tenant cannot open its premises, not because it's chosen to do so, because it's compelled to do so as a result of a landlord closing the entire building or shopping centre, arguably a landlord could be liable in damages for what's called derogation of grant under a lease, which basically means the landlord's granted a lease and has to let the tenant have the benefits and enjoyment of the lease it's granted, or indeed its usual covenant given by a landlord for quiet enjoyment of the premises. So if the landlord's interrupted that quiet enjoyment effectively by closing the premises, the tenant could have a claim against a landlord, theoretically, including for loss of profits. But once again, I think if these claims are brought, I think courts will be quite reluctant to grant damages in these extenuating circumstances. But with all these questions, you know, the ultimate issue really is who bears the loss. There's been a lot of press about landlords being sympathetic to tenants and sort of the tenants' lobby saying it's up to the landlords to be responsible in these circumstances. But, you know, there is another side to that coin, which is quite sure the landlords lose out, and the landlords themselves rely on their rental income in many cases to pay their borrowings and to pay off their loans, the interest on their loans. Although, you know, in some sectors, more the residential than the commercial sector, the government has been brought in provisions about this, and landlords having relief against paying their mortgage payments if their tenant's not paying the rent at the moment. But again, you know, for example, if the landlord is a pension company, a pension fund, then the pension fund is going to suffer if the rental income isn't flowing through. So there are lots of aspects to this. This goes back to what I was saying before, whether rental holidays are actually concessions and waivers of rent and rent-free periods, or whether that rent is going to be recovered. But the point I'm making is that landlords have concerns as much as tenants in the circumstances. And I think commercially, and also you could say sort of morally or ethically, there is a balance to be struck as to who bears the loss. And I think the objective must be for everybody to act reasonably and try and keep both landlords and tenants afloat in the current situation.
So yeah, as with all aspects of this crisis, hopefully a collaborative approach is what can get us all through it. Hopefully many of these issues that we've talked about can be resolved by negotiation rather than ultimate litigation.
Indeed, yes. I mean, I think some of the theoretical claims I've mentioned, like claims for quiet enjoyment breaches and keep open governance, I would hope would never see the light of day. In theory, those are the landlord and tenant issues that legally we are grappling with at the moment in dealing with the current situation.
And it's your job to be keeping your mind on all of those potential battlegrounds.
Exactly. For solicitors to be advising clients, but as you said, hopefully everyone will act reasonably and collaboratively, and there'll be a minimal amount of dispute and litigation arising from all of these issues.
Well, many thanks for joining me today to answer these questions. Stay safe and look after yourself during the rest of this pandemic.
And to you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.